Sometimes I just like to sit and think about everything that God's done for me, how he sent Jesus to be my salvation. And that can be overwhelming sometimes. I got an email from my daughter, Alicia, a couple days ago, and some of you may not know, but she's a missionary in Mexico, and she said, "Mom, God gave me a vision." And it was, I was in heaven, and there was a circle of grand pianos as far as the eye could see. And everyone was playing praises in unison to Jesus, and he was there. And she said, he was in a tuxedo, and all the deaf kids at my school were there. And they were rejoicing because they were hearing praise music, and they were seeing Jesus for the first time. And that's how good God is. He gives us glimpses of his glory and of our future. In the scripture in Chronicles, it says, "Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim good things, good tidings of his salvation from day to day." That's a challenge, but it's my heart to share salvation day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the people. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his place. This song is called Glory. One day, eyes that are blind will see you clearly. One day, all who deny will finally believe. One day, hearts made of stone will break in pieces. One day, chains once unbroke will fall down at your feet. So we wait for that one day. Come quickly, we want to see your glory. Every knee falls down before. One day, all that's divided
Thank you, Dylan. Would you turn in your Bibles to Matthew 24? We're going to look at the 36th verse. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master's staying away a long time. And he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour he's not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, do you see a great big 25 right after that, chapter 25? Guess what? In the original autographs, there was no chapter 25. It goes right into the parable of the 10 virgins. You know, the team of 5 wise women and 5 foolish women. 5 who were wise enough to be prepared so that they could go to sleep with peace. That everything that needed to be finished was finished. They were prepared. And then 5 foolish went to sleep thinking, well, there's going to be time later to get my oil in my lamp. And then after that is the parable of the talents, where we're told that the master is going away on a long journey, but he entrusts to one 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent. And then after that in Matthew chapter 25 is the message of the Son of Man coming and dividing right down the middle from left to right. Sheep on one side, goats on the other. Some are going to be saved and others never knew the Lord. It sounds like a bunch in that group that never knew the Lord pretended that they did. Right? Were you here last week to hear that? These messages that I've been preaching since January 7th, when I was called to be your pastor, are all preparatory messages for us to be the church that God is calling for. Amen. In these days, in this generation, this group of people. It's not a joke. I don't come here pretending to be the coach for a season. I am called by God to coach this group of people to be all you can be. And you know what? We're not ready. As a team, we're not ready. It's not go time. Thank God. We're going to do the best we can today. If God has an assignment, we're going to do the best we can. But we have not yet, as far as this coach's heart and mind goes, we're not yet at that point. And I've set Easter Sunday. It's just a day on a calendar. It's just a day like any other day, except all around the world there's going to be people praying. Lord, may this day be a day when your church takes off. Lord, when we understand that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the message for a lost and dying world. And some of the church will have been fasting for 40 days. They call it Lent. They started on Ash Wednesday. 40 days of fasting, or 40 days of self-denial, 40 days of spiritual formation, some kind of discipline, to prepare themselves for Good Friday. I want to be a church like that, that has days and seasons set apart to prepare ourselves in fasting and in prayer and expectation. That at an hour when we don't know, the bell's going to ring, the cry's going to go out, and those who are ready are found ready as the winning team, found wise. Who's in charge of this? Who's the captain? Could you come on up? Come on up. And then anybody that was chosen by Ann Arthur to be on a team, would you just come? Just come on up. Make your way. See, some know that they're chosen. Some forgot they were chosen. Let's see, was I on her team or her sister's team? And if you'll just stand on over there by that grand piano with your team, all right? I just want a visual look here. I called them the bells, but I think mid-sermon I shifted them to the ringers. The ringers is a pretty good name. And I'm just going to let you look over your team there. She chose Renna, see? See Johnny Walker? Bringing Renna on up here, Ann. Here's your little clipboard. That's a sign of authority, the clipboard. The bells and the whistles. The whistles was Thelma Hopkins. And Thelma informed me last week she wouldn't be here. But I said, Thelma, appoint somebody. You're here, Thelma? Well, come on up, Thelma. Now, Thelma's husband, Dennis, is hard of hearing. And he's got to read lips, so I'm not going to make him come up. But if you were along with Thelma's team, would you make your way around your captain right up over here? Over by that electric chair or whatever that is. Somebody told me that that's for me. Yeah, but if you just round your team up on over there, all right? It's about getting ready, ladies and gentlemen. Paul was a coach. Man, he was a church planner. He was a pastor. He was an evangelist. He was an ambassador. I don't think they could really put him in a niche. He just followed the Lord's vision. Does it look like the team's equal? Get a good look at them. Last week, here's your clipboard, sign of authority. What's Jack doing on the other side? He's one of them that forgot whose side he's on. And you know what? If you'll get on the internet and listen to that sermon, your reason for picking Jack, do you remember?
I do remember. Can I?
What was it?
Can I recount that?
No, what was it you said?
Is smart.
She picked Jack. Okay, now, I'd like you all to get to where you can make eye contact with everybody. Just try to get in a position where you can see these precious people. And then I had a young man come up and he said, "What? Now, why do you pick them to be captains?" I said, "Why? Bob, do you want to be a captain?" Bob said, "Yeah, I do." So, Bob, the elephant bells. Now, your team that you pick might not want to be called the elephant bells. You might want to say, you know, the bulls, you know, like the elephant, bull elephant. And then here's your clipboard. But last week you actually looked over the teams and you stole one from each side, didn't you?
I'm going to steal one from
you. Okay, go to that side and that side over there, the one you picked was Tim Willett. And I'd like you to just stand right up there by that microphone, okay? And then you picked one from this team. Yeah? You already know who we got, huh? Patrice, she's here. She said, "But I don't want to go with that man." Go on, Patrice, go on. All right, kiss her goodbye. You can come back. Okay, yeah, we want these two microphones on, all right? And then April Cameron, I haven't seen her yet today. Is she not here?
She's not here.
Okay, but she picked one person last week, and his name's Tom Wrong. Tom, are you here?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you're going to have to stand in the place of the Shakers. The Shakers. And why don't you stand on over by this microphone, Tom? Yeah. Now, I noticed that Ann Arthur had one extra person on her team when we did the counting. You see, I listened to the sermon over again. I listened over and over and over again. It's all up there on the internet. You can hear all the messages. And somehow Ann wound up with one extra person. And so, Tom, I'd like you just to look over that team and take one of her other people.
Dan Clark.
That fast. Got Dan away. All right. Well, I'm sorry. Okay, now I'm going to let the ringers and the whistles go ahead and be seated. I'll take your clipboards, ladies. Unless, you know what, you might want to look that over and remind yourself who's on your team. And I'm going to keep these other teams up here. Go ahead and keep your clipboard. Just give it back to me after service. All right, you two get over on that side, and let's see. Wait a second. You've got two. Oh, yeah, April is missing. Okay. And, Patrice, I'm going to let you go ahead and sit down, all right? So, we had a couple women leaders, and now we just left with guys up here. Guys, where's your Bibles? Did you bring one, Tom? Did you bring one, Dan? Yeah, why don't you go get it, guys? I'll time you. You got yours. See, he's ready! But isn't that wonderful, though? Isn't it wonderful that they all have Bibles at church, huh? Isn't that wonderful? They're young men, most of them. Yeah. Okay. First one to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Get up to the microphone. First one to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Okay, there you go. As soon as you're there, get to the microphone. You're reading. I hope you aren't ashamed to read in public. Okay? Just start out. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Yep.
As it is written, he scattered abroad the...
Uh-oh.
He scattered abroad...
2 Corinthians chapter 9.
2 Corinthians 9.
Right there.
Excuse me.
Yeah, he was on chapter 9, verse 9, so that's okay. Go ahead.
No, thank you. For it is superfluous for me to write to you about this ministry to the saints.
For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. Read.
For I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the Macedonians.
To the Macedonians. Let me read that in the King James. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia. I just want to look at the coaching technique of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul says, you know, it's superfluous for me to speak about this service to the saints. Because you already know the forwardness of your mind. Because you know that I boast about you when I talk about you to the other church. See, Paul is into this thing called friendly competition. Will you say that with me? Friendly competition. These guys are all friends with each other. Now look at them, look and smile at each other. But I'll bet that if they were on opposing sides of a tug of war, who do you think would win?
Dan.
Somebody said Dan. You just grab. Would you let those guys pull you into the mud pit?
Probably not.
Can you boast that they wouldn't pull you in the mud pit?
Oh yeah.
Woo! Sound like we got a little friendly competition going on here. All right. Tim, will you read next, please?
Starting with the verse 3.
Let's go with the second verse.
Second verse, okay. Let's see. New Bible. For I know your eagerness to help, and I have been boasting about you to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year, you in Archaea were ready to give, and your enthusiasm was stirring most, I have dyslexia, of them to action.
Okay, that's good. Now, he was reading from the NIV, I think. Mm-hmm. For I know your eagerness to help, and I've been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year you and Achaia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. You see, what he's doing is he's boasting about the offering. The offering that the church at Corinth had raised. When he speaks about those gifts and the willingness to give to another church, the purpose of it is not to brag. The purpose of it is a spiritual isometric exercise. It's a tension between two parts of the body, but a tension intended to make the whole body stronger. And that's what I intend to do when I have that friendly competition between two sisters, Thelma and Anne. Thelma, I notice there's still spots up there in the ceiling. But you're dealing with it, right? Did she leave the house? It's being dealt with? Yes. See, I like that word. Yes. Yes. And I wonder, Anne, how could you possibly outserve your sister? I mean, when it comes to getting ready in this room for Easter morning, Anne, I just wonder, Anne and the other ringers, Jack, you're not on that team. What ideas can you have to help get us ready in this very room, in that reception area, in that parking lot, that roadway, the newspaper, whatever it is? How do we get ready so that on Easter morning when it's go time, we are not necessarily the coolest church in town, but a powerful church. Amen. A church that people feel magnetized toward, a church that people want to become members of because there's a vision for their growth. Bob, read. Start in that second verse.
Second verse?
Mm-hmm.
For I know your eagerness to help, and I have been boasting about it to the Macedonians. Tell them that since last year, you and Archaea were ready to give, and your enthusiasm was stirred most of them into action.
Listen to it in the King James. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Tom, would you read the third verse?
But I am sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you in this matter should not prove hollow, but you may be ready as I said you would be.
Listen to it in the King James. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready. Dan, read that fourth verse, please.
Otherwise, if any
Macedonians
come with me and find you unprepared, we not to speak of you will be put to shame by this confidence.
Listen to it in the King James. Lest haply if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Let's hear it in the NIV. Bob, you've got it.
Verse 4. For if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to say anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident.
All right, let's just say that you've been inviting your neighbor to come to your church. And you say, we've got awesome music. It's awesome. The people pray about the songs that they're going to sing. They're scripturally based. They give glory to God. They're not man-centered. They're God-centered songs. And there's just a sweet anointing when you step into the place. And you've worked hard at getting your visitor come. And then when they come, you don't even experience the anointing. And it doesn't look like they're prepared. It looks like somebody's taking a nap and the bell's ringing. We overslept. Paul said, there's a chance that though you performed well last year, there's just a chance that you might not be prepared. So we're getting ready now so that nobody needs to be ashamed of how you run your race. Is that what it says? We've heard it in three different versions. Is that what the coach is saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 9? If so, say amen.
Amen.
That's why we say amen. We get it in our knower, what the word says, and we chew on it. And that's why there's nothing wrong with having several translations of the same scripture in a church service. If it doesn't read like yours, then find out why. There might be some nuances in that the translators worked hard at and wanted to get it as accurate as they could and wanted it to be meaningful to a contemporary generation. How many of you think that addiction is a good thing? Raise your hand. Okay, we've got one. Rena and Matthew. Now, who would think... And Alexis. Now, I've been told Alexis just likes to stand out. You know, whatever. She'll just go there. And her mom. And you do too. What do you like to be... What do you think is a good addiction? Go ahead. Just tell me.
Blueberries.
Jesus.
Blueberries and Jesus. What about you, Matthew?
Caffeine.
He likes that caffeine. And he doesn't think there's anything wrong with being addicted to it. What about you, Rena?
I think I would like to be addicted to prayer.
Addicted to prayer. Anybody else? Marcy.
Loving one another.
Addicted to loving one another. Now, you can love one another, you can pray for them, you can take the blueberries and coffee over to them and say, I'm addicted to Jesus, and that's why we're knocking on your door today. I saw addicted in the King James Version of the Bible. And I think it was in 1 Corinthians 16. Let's just flip back there and see if we can find that. Who's got a King James Bible? Anybody here got a King James? Now, I could be wrong, and if so, then I'm sorry. Oh, my goodness. You know what? That was a different verse I was looking for in there, and I see it. And so now I don't know where it says. Verse 15. Oh, thank you. Now, this brother's just visiting our church, but I want him on my team. Thomas, what's it? Will you just read it? You got a King James? He's just all prepared?
Okay, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints.
They have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They have addicted themselves to the service of the saints. To the service of the saints. To being team players. To preferring one another over themselves. Whatever needs to take place, I want to be the first. I want to be right up there at the head of the line to outserve my sister and my brother in this game of friendly competition. Where was that? It was 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15. Let's see. What's that say in the NIV?
Devoted.
Bob, will you read that?
I would love to. You know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. I urge you, brothers, to submit to such as these things and to everyone who joins the work and labors at it.
I urge you, brothers, to submit to such as these. Submit to the addicts. Submit to the addicts because they're addicted to something good. I like Rena said, I'd like to be addicted to prayer. You know, and at least in little Alexis, boy, that girl can sing, and it might be the blueberries that's given her the golden throat. You know, if you're going to be addicted to something, blueberries are a pretty good thing to be addicted to. You know, God's blueberry. That is sweet. That's wonderful. I like them too. Haven't got addicted to them yet. but I like them. They are good. And maybe that's the way you feel about prayer. You know, prayer is a good thing, but I haven't gotten overly familiar with it. And the urge to pray hasn't necessarily got a hold of me to where that's the first thing I think of when I wake up at night. Instead, I kind of toss and turn and wonder what's wrong with me. Why can't I go to sleep? But maybe an addict would go, man, I got the Jones to get a good prayer on. You know what I'm saying? Got that monkey on my back. The Holy Ghost. Saying it's time to pray. Paul said, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's go back there again. Let's look what... Dan, you started this out. What's 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1 actually say? What's it say?
For it is super...
So it is superfluous.
Superfluous for me to write to you about this ministry to the saints.
And Tim, what's yours say?
There is no need for me to write to you about the service to the saints.
There is no need for me to write to you about this service to the saints. That's the thing that he's writing to the Corinthians in chapter 16, verse 15 about. That's what they're addicted to. You know, it ought to be common ground. This service to the saints, this out-serving one another, this hearing about a need and then reaching out and meeting that need, it's just basics for you in Corinth. It's superfluous for me to talk about it again, but on the other hand, what's he doing? He's talking about it again. All right, thank you, teams. Go ahead and be seated. Thanks so much. I'm just going to let the other team captains pick the rest of their team till all captains have 12 people on their team. Now, does this all end at Easter? I don't know. I don't even know if I'm still going to be alive on Easter. But I want to get ready in case I am. I want us to be ready. Anybody here ever hear of Bayside? I keep hearing about Bayside. Raise your hand if you've heard about Bayside. There's a bunch of people that used to go to Bell Road that now go to Bayside. Anybody hear of Adventure Church? Yeah, and you know, I've heard about Adventure Church. And in what context have I heard about Adventure Church? It's because there's people that formerly went to Bell Road that now go to Adventure Church. Is there anything wrong with that? Sometimes people move. Sometimes they move. Sometimes the Lord moves them on. But sometimes it's because they've just outgrown us. We don't have a vision big enough. Just frustrating to try to grow in a context that has a leadership lid that's too small. Not from real life. We've been in the Word a long time, haven't we? Haven't we been in the Word a long time this morning? I don't know what time I got up here. But I need to start closing now. So I want to tell you a story before I close. Got a son. His name's Daniel. You heard about him, didn't you? You got to meet Daniel. And you know that he'll do whatever it takes to win. I mean, that's what he wants to do. When he's wrestling, man, I think he would have made... like Jacob, that kind of wrestler that would wrestle through until he got the blessing. He's not going to let go. When he's wrestling with something that he realizes is a moment of holiness, oh, that's what I want. In the natural first, but then the spiritual. When I'm watching my boy wrestle against another boy on the mat, I want my boy to win. And if for some reason he doesn't win that match, I don't want him to give up. But it's so much better when I see that he's listened to his coach. And if his coach is one that has a big vision for him. So he just finished his wrestling career in high school. He got to go to sectionals. And he was quite happy about that. And he got beat in both matches. He didn't get pinned. But still, he lost by the points. So that's the end, huh? Had a good show there at Bell Road. Now I'm just going to drift into Bayside where there's thousands of people and nobody's going to call on me to do much of anything. Go on over to Adventureland. Nothing against those churches, but what Coach Paul was saying, hey, Corinth, I'm talking to you. And when I talk about you, I want to be able to boast about you. And I don't want to be ashamed that after all my boasting about you, that you don't come through. So let's just be the very best Bell Road we can be. And let's see who God brings us. And let's see who decides they're going to join this team. Oh, I liked it in school when they did call. Captains would start calling. The excitement when there were people that wanted to play. Kids would go, pick me. You know? But then what about the other side of that? You know, it's wonderful when you want to be picked and you do get picked. But what if you're one of those people that you've already been on teams like that and you haven't done too well? You know it and they know it. And you're just kind of sitting out there and nobody's calling on you. But the teacher makes everybody get picked. Here's how I play as a coach in the household of God. I want everybody to have a chance to play. But I want to be winners too. And it's not necessary that we win every single round. It's not necessary that we win absolutely every single match. Because God is sovereign. In this race we run. And he might want to humiliate us for the purpose of causing us to be more like Jesus. Because Jesus learned humility, didn't he? And how else can you learn humility unless you're humiliated sometimes? It's humiliating for my son to get up from the mat both times. I mean, he doesn't smile and just shake it off and go, yeah, well, praise the Lord. All things work together for the good. I just got whipped in front of everybody. Praise the Lord. No, you know, coaches try to encourage him and such, but no, he's not feeling great right afterwards. But the kid who didn't necessarily want to go to college, when he came up to the end of his high school wrestling career, decided maybe Sac City College would be a good school. Why? Why? Because they got a wrestling team there that's 10th in the state of California. All right, well, you know, I'm thinking as a dad, well, that's good if that's what it takes, you know. If it takes a bell or a whistle to get my boy out of his seat, out of complacency and on to further education, so be it. But then I'm going to do my part too. Because God has taken me, as for me and my house, God has taken me up here to Auburn. This is where God has placed us. It was either going to be Auburn or Africa. And that's the truth, folks. And I know stuff would be happening in Africa if I was there right now. If I was making plans to go to Africa right now, I already know lots of stuff that Kathy and I could be doing, being very fruitful. So if God chose Auburn for us instead of Africa, through you, then I've got high expectations for this team. So I asked Ben, hey, would you give me a little tour of Sierra College? We're, you know, we pull in that Rockland exit, you know, we go to Sierra College. It's just real close here, just down 80. As we're looking around, I said, hey, Ben, do they have a wrestling team? He said, oh, I don't know. I guess I saw a couple guys in wrestling, talking about wrestling one day. Yeah, I think they do. So I sent my son an email, and I gave a little link to Sierra College, and I asked him to check it out. You know what? He pulled me aside last night on a Saturday night. Now, he's going to Horizon Church in Galt, and it's, you know, Horizon. You know, it's kind of like Adventureland, kind of like Bayside. You know, I mean, it's got some cool stuff. He comes up here every other week, but not because it's so cool, but because, you know, it appeases the Father. He looked up Sierra College, and not only do they have a wrestling team, their team is second in the state. Now, what team do you think he really wants? What school do you think he wants to go to? Number 10 or number 2? And now he's wondering, could I even make it to the number 2 team? Is there even a chance I could even get on it? And you look at the coach of Sierra's wrestling team, and I mean, that guy's been there 5 years, and he's a winner. Wow. Now, what's all that's got to do with our church? It has nothing to do with business as usual. It has everything to do with where do you want to go next? What's the next step going to be? We're going to sing a song right now. It's called Change My Heart, Oh God. Lights are going to come down. We're going to stand. We're going to sing it. We don't even really need to look at the words. You can get whiplash looking at the words in this church. We're going to change that before Easter. I tell you, I'm going to do my part with the AV, with the sound and the visuals before Easter. Okay? Is that all right? But this song, Change My Heart, Oh God, it's a song that takes me to the book of Jeremiah. God told Jeremiah, you go on down to the potter's house. And just watch what that expert potter does. Now, who wants to join a pottery class with me over at Sierra College? You know, now, wouldn't that be a good class, Renna? Would you want to take a pottery class with me? Oh, yeah? We could be pushers, you know, to those college students, couldn't we? Get them addicted to the stuff that we sell. Yeah. That prayer is a good thing. God's word is a good thing. Man. We're going to stand. You know, that was a cue to everybody stand. You know, instead of take a knee, everybody take a step. All right, and the team's coming on up here. We're going to sing one song. And during that song, if you'd like to come and just say, I want to get in on this thing. I want to join the membership class today. I want to be used. You come forward. We're going to ask those that have been asked to come forward to pray, men and women, if I could just have a few up here. I'm going to bring the lights out. We're just going to sing this song through. And then we'll be dismissed in prayer quietly, and we'll retain an atmosphere of reverence, prayerfulness, and we'll stay here until God is done, till everybody that needs to do business with Him in His house has had that chance. Let's sing together. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. Oh God. Make it ever true. Change my Father, we just want to thank you for your word. Lord, you took us to Matthew 24, told us to get ready, to be ready. You took us to 2 Corinthians and to 1 Corinthians, and you taught us about being ready and spurring each other on, and even being used as a church to spur on other churches in other towns. Father, I pray that you would bless Bell Road to be a wonderful place of discipleship, of comfort, of growth, of vision, not only for this foothills area, but for all of California and all of America, Mexico, to the ends of the earth. Lord, humble beginnings for us as a team, but we look for you to take us through a winning season of many victories. You are the potter. We're clay in your hands. We ask you, Lord, to mold us and to shape us into the vessel that's useful for your service in these days. So, Lord, burn your word in our hearts. hearts as we leave this place, that we might be a little bit more like Jesus to the people around us. For it is in your name we have gathered, and we have listened forward. In the name of Jesus, we pray.